This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. And I hope I said that that demonstration on the 4th Saturday is at the U.S. Consulate. The U.S. Consulate, March the 4th, organized by Syrian activists, people of the Syrian community. And the title is hashtag End the Siege. And I noticed that it's end underscore the underscore siege. At least that's according to my sources. Speaking of sources, let us get to a matter that is front page news every day of the week, because a decision has been made. The levers have been pulled, and we are in the grip of an anti-China hysteria. And we are being led by the Globe and Mail. Today they were joined by the Star. The Star has been poking along behind the Globe because they largely agree. They want to see a rootin' tootin', screaming, jumping up and down anti-China policy. And this is should be a concern to all Canadians. And we need to look at what kinds of things are being said. And we talked about it on the show last week. I suspect we're going to be talking about it in the future. We can't make up the agenda. The agenda is made, set for us by the masters who determine policy and who provide stories which are designed to make us frightened and obedient and not to question. I think it was, 2 weeks ago that we were shooting balloons. That was followed by, we have to, NORAD has to expand, and now they say, somebody saw a buoy that was gathering information in the Arctic, and the Arctic belongs to us, and by us we mean the United States, through us. This is all built around an idea, totally wrong, that the world requires of us, or that we need to be having a confrontation over, frankly, nothing. It's any of our business. And it's with China. And it's been going on for quite a time. President Obama used the term pivot. And that's the one where he created whiplash for the prime minister. The prime minister had been elected in 2015, promising to improve relations with China, but he discovered that, change of office and whatnot, that that wasn't going to be possible. That the hostility to China from Washington was such that Canada would have to comply. Actually, the instant we all remember was when Donald Trump gave the order that Meng Wanzhou, a Chinese national and a businesswoman from one of the most successful and impressive communications companies, one that used to be, you could watch it on Saturday Night Hockey and be impressed with all the things they could do. They've been dismantled, but that was because Donald Trump and the Democratic Party wanted to put an end to them economically. So Trump's government said Canada must arrest Meng Wanzhou, who was simply passing through the country on business. And since then, it has gotten darker and stranger practically by the day. And have one story I always tell, listeners will remember, is that on the first or second day following the Canadian government's obedient reply, or obediently following the orders of Donald Trump, they had a couple of three talking heads, and one of the talking heads actually had something to say. He was a professor or something, had written 9 books. And he said, I don't understand why we did that. He said, are we a vassal? And he never appeared again. And they never ask that question again, because the answer is yes. And by the way, you want to see vassaldom, you don't have to feel alone. If you want vassaldom, you could look at Europe. The Americas destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, it appears. Read Seymour Hersh, that doesn't make it absolutely true, but I would say the evidence seems to be pointing in that way. A German prosecutor was asked if the Russians did it, and he said no. So Germany had their pipeline destroyed, and they don't complain. Now that is a vassal. But it's not surprising, is it? The United States military still occupies Germany. They still occupy Japan. They still occupy South Korea. They never went home. If you go back to the McCarthy days and the FBI and all that stuff, they were always saying, oh, can't let the communists take over, because once they do, they never go home. And they're the ones who themselves never went home. When Jimmy Carter, who is now apparently at the end of his days, came into office, he said he was going to take a hard look at why we had so many thousands and thousands of U.S. soldiers in South Korea. And he almost got impeached. He basically said, I'm sorry I said that, backed away, and never did anything about it. But he put his finger on a problem. He had a habit of doing that, which is why he was a one-term president. Jimmy Carter read the Bible every day, and so he had some idea about being, you know, living by his principles, and that'll get you destroyed in politics in 10 minutes. So here we are today, and to my mind, we have to talk about this matter. We're being played by a source who's been talking to the Globe and to somebody called Scooper Cooper. That's what he calls himself. Now, I didn't make that up. He calls himself Super Scooper or Scooper Hooper. Yeah, Sam Hooper. Anyway, please go and read him. He's wonderful. I think he's great, because he is the guy who they always introduce him as. He's been investigating this for a matter of Chinese influence for 8 months. And when you read what he has found in his 8 months, you realize there's nothing to it. Nothing. But what there is to it is that he's basing himself, and the Globe does it too. I don't know if they're sharing the same source. They haven't told us that. But somebody in CSIS, so they say, was in touch with them, or they don't say who got in touch with who, and has permitted them to see secret documents. And then they don't only say secret, they say top secret. That's supposed to get you really excited. But you haven't seen that. They say they saw it, and then they credit this, we don't know whether we're talking about an individual or more than one, but they did say in today's Globe that they don't identify their source because they might be in violation of the Secrets Act. So I think we could call this individual a rogue, and we don't know who it is. But we're supposed to get excited, and believe me, well, number one, I'm not. But I noticed that the leader of the NDP says he's excited, and others say they're alarmed. Well, they seem to be alarmed at the wrong thing, because this individual, or individuals, whoever they are, have been talking to a conservative paper, which I told you last week, will be endorsing Polev. Mr. Polev seems to really be enjoying this information. And so we have somebody who might have a political motive, but we don't know. How can we know? Well, it's because of the Official Secrets Act, they're not supposed to share this. But it's led to headlines which cause people to become really silly. They say that the documents, I have to give you the proper phrase. They like to say this. CSIS says, and CSIS warned, and CSIS this. That's not true. CSIS does exist. I've looked it up. They haven't said anything. CSIS, you know, actually is, when you see CSIS, it's wearing clothes like yours, and it's behind a microphone, and there's an actual person. But a document can't give evidence. If the Globe tried this trick of saying this is their document, they would be in any courtroom. They'd say, who produced that document? How do we know it's authentic? And who gave you that document? Why did they give it to you? And are there any more? And you notice in the hysteria around China, and it came up today, I noticed this gentleman, Butt, God passes out great names, Mr. Butt, who used to advise Mr. Trudeau, he did say, this needs to be looked into. But he said, and it should be broadened to include other countries other than China. And believe me, over at the Globe, they do not want to hear that. Because if you were to actually look at people's involvement across borders and in and out of other people's countries, you want an example of interference? That would be Senator John McCain, Victoria Nuland, the liberal senator, Democrat senator from Massachusetts, standing on a podium in the capital of Ukraine, giving speeches, denouncing the government and calling on the people to do this and to do that. And you see, that's interference. You can't do that. But they have our values. That means they can do it. And another example would be the President of the United States, Obama, followed by Secretary of State Clinton, I think later Donald Trump, saying that the President of Syria must step down. That's a violation of the internal affairs of a sovereign state. And, of course, paying millions of dollars to arm people who then violently attack Syria, that's also pretty clearly interference. But back to our guy, and I don't know why I'm assuming it's a man. CSIS has not said a thing, actually. But the Globe would have you believe that CSIS did say something. And that's untested. That's undemonstrated. But if you go to the laughable part of this, and I do recommend Cooper, I guess. He gives us examples. He says, according to CSIS documents or whatever, that one member of the Chinese consulate said, China likes it when the Canadian parties are fighting with each other. Incidentally, that quote, that's the only quote. They've been saying that, and this is, you have to be pretty far down the rabbit hole to listen to believe all this stuff, but they said that the Chinese government hoped for a minority government. And then to that, they attached a quote. This is how they document that. One member of the Chinese consul said, China likes it when the parties, Canadian parties, fight with each other. You notice how that doesn't compute. It does not mean, that quote, that they wanted a minority government. It says they like it when the parties fight with each other, except that it's one person saying it. And it doesn't make any to base yourself on, to make wild claims about a great strategy and your quote of a, some guy, one person, which doesn't say anything about a minority government, tells me you're blowing smoke. I mean, blowing smoke. We are being played by somebody who is whispering Smith in the dark, and he's whispering to the globe, and he's whispering to various other people. He, she, I better go back to that, is whispering. They're not identified, and they and the documents are not corroborated by anybody. If these documents that the globe is referring to are ever going to be discussed, the institution called CSIS is going to have to provide someone to accompany the documents, because you can't cross-examine a piece of paper. Somebody has to say what that is and how it came into being. And I want to make sure I say at this point that this faith, this really holy, deep faith in people called spies, the Globe and Mail today didn't use the word spy. For 3 or 4 days they've been using the word spy. They dropped it. I don't know why. But people who work as spies pass along things to selected individuals. There's absolutely no basis at all for taking, for having any regard for that. That should be immediately tossed out. I would hope a judge, I think, would say, look, you can't do that, and don't come back. For those who really who are buying into this hysteria, and it is hysteria, I remind you that the secret police of France said that Dreyfus was a traitor. Dreyfus was a traitor. That's who said so. All the authorities of France. And so what more did you need? And you know what it led to, by the way? Tons of anti-Semitism, tons. People got hurt. Incidentally, this all this China business is going to end up getting somebody hurt. One other thing I want to say about on that laughability, and I do recommend, go to Scooper Hooper, Cooper. He said that we had an election in North York, and it was a nominating, and parties have to nominate who's going to be running. So people were bussed in. When I read that, I thought, you live in Canada? Every election cycle, if you follow the period of the nominations, you will find that the Liberal Party, the NDP, the Greens, the Conservatives have fist fights, hair pulling, and buses. This happens all the time. And by the way, often those are ethnic-based issues where members of communities are fighting, they want a certain person, which is their business. And it isn't pretty, CSIS. It isn't Globe. It's not pretty, but it happens to be the way politics is conducted. And they have a guy in British Columbia who lost an election. He ran 3 times and lost twice. And we're supposed to believe that he lost the last time because they say there was interference. I don't believe that. I looked at the totals. The numbers do not vary between a couple of thousand either direction, and they go from cycle to cycle. My guess is any political scientist, sociologist would explain to us that that happened because the issues changed. And as a result of the change of issues, people voted differently. But CSIS wants to have us in a historical mode, and we should be combating that. And one last item on that. Look at today's Toronto Star has a story about how Rosie Douglas in 1969, and this is apropos of Black History Month, RCMP targeted black militants at Sir George Williams who were protesting racism, and Rosie Douglas was one of the leaders. They said that they decided that they could interfere with Rosie Douglas, and so they attached an agent to him, and then they proceeded to do other things. And the reason I'm raising it is CSIS has special powers. CSIS has the power to disrupt. It says so in their authorization. They can disrupt. Here's where all this stuff leads. And if you go to the major magazine, I got the title right here. It's I don't have it actually. The title, it doesn't matter. I've told work from the star. There was a woman involved in the Sir George Williams business, and this is it. I'm linking it to what CSIS is doing now. A woman involved. She was a young militant, and so the RCMP had someone phone her and threaten her life, and she was from somewhere in the Caribbean. So she receives a death threat on the phone. Then they hang up. Then about 10 minutes later, they called in the name of the RCMP. They called and said to her, "We overheard that because, you know, we're monitoring all these things and these dangerous people. So we heard that call, and we know that your life has been threatened, and of course it's our job to protect you." And she was very grateful. So they protected her by coming and saying, "The best way to protect you is to take you home safely." And they took her out of Canada, and she never returned. It's Dimension Magazine, Dimension, January 29. The subtitle here is RCMP Violence. And the article is written by Andrea Conte and Philip Amy. That's the Dimension Magazine. Her name was Natalie Charles. She's from Dominica. That happened. Let's remember, this is Black History Month, so you need to know that when you give secret police, I hate to use a word like that, but it's got to be said, you give them the power to disrupt. And then also, when you treat someone from them, allegedly, who passes on alleged bad conduct on the part of a foreign government, only to malleable and the kind of sources who will be megaphones for whoever that is. And incidentally, I would say to Mr. Singh and all these other guys, you better find out who's handing this out, or other. I'm not interested in hearing any further from your magical source. Because that source is in violation of the Secrets Act. If he's a hero or she, bring him forward and let's talk to him. I'm not saying incarcerate him, but if they are in violation of the act, you better say who they are. And to the Conservative Party, Taylor Report has a question. This informant alleges, this source says that there were 11 candidates under the influence of China. They've tended to give the impression that those were all liberals. They weren't. According to the Globe and Mail earlier, about a week ago, they said that two of the 11 were conservatives, Poilievre and O'Toole. They have their opportunity now. Since it was two of their guys, apparently, according to the source, maybe they should ask the source for their names, and maybe they wanted to do something about that. Instead of this posturing, if there are two conservatives, and the conservatives really care, shouldn't they look in their own house before talking about the other guy's house? But the long and the short of it is, secret sources, secret police have no business leaking to anybody. And when they visit members of parliament, which I read in the Globe last week they do, and say to them, "Here's my card. If you have any information, pass it on to me." that's intimidation in my book, in my view. If Mr. Singh and Polev and Trudeau were comfortable with it, I would say vote them all out of office. Nobody from the secret police, spies, should be visiting members of parliament, giving them cards and saying, call me, or we have a concern about the guy who works for you. Because they're telling you to fire him, and you have no basis. So that is what I would call scary territory. And this is a Taylor Report, and you've been warned. You're being played. We are being played. And so we need to be, and we have to say to those who are creating this crisis to knock it off. And we need grown-up politicians. And when someone says the Chinese embassy liked to see parties fighting with each other, let me join that. So do I. I thought the parties were supposed to fight each other. I didn't know they were all supposed to agree. I notice they do, which makes me sick. They do join in accusing countries of genocide wildly when nobody else is doing it except them. I'm really kind of tired of all the agreement. And they should fight with each other. I thought that's why they were elected. If you're not going to do it that way, then NDP should stand up and say, vote for my friend over here because he's my friend over here. So put me with the people who say, yeah, it's good for you to have party fighting.